This morning we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Kids, I'm going to be talking to you for the first portion of this message. Too often I think the kids tune out. I'm actually talking to you this morning. And so parents, you can kind of nudge them a little bit, wake them up in preparation. But I pray that the Lord is doing that. And I pray that He opens up your ears and your heart to what He has to say to you this morning. The latter portion of it, we'll close up with a message for the parents. And so kids, you can be wide awake for that as well, because you can remind them of some of these things which the Lord will speak to them about. And Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to go through four verses. That's all. Just four verses. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank You for this time. As we turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Lord, may You turn the pages in our hearts, Lord, to just do away with what happened yesterday, even on the way here, if it was a distraction, Lord. Help us to focus on Your Word, Your truth, and how it is that we are to apply it to our lives to bring You glory. And so, Lord, may You focus our youth here this morning. Lord, may You open up their hearts to accept, to apply, Lord, Your truths. But that it's not for the parents, it's not just for adults, Lord, it's for everyone. And so speak to children as well as parents this morning. And may we be attentive to all that, again, we may apply and You may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we continue this morning in our value series. We want to know what God values, right? We've talked about how He values marriages, how He values us as we are new in Christ and are walking in that new man led by the Spirit. We talked about how He values wisdom, godly wisdom, how we apply the truth that is found in Scripture to our life to bring Him glory. He values that. He also values marriages the way He intended marriage to be. Not the way we see it in the world today, but how He intended it to be. He values that. The image of Jesus Christ in the church. The marriage itself. And this morning we're going to talk about children and parents in Ephesians chapter 6. Again, just four verses, but they're powerful verses that speak to us. One thing that that I was thinking about is that I love to see families that express their love for one another in such practical ways. I'm sure you agree with me as you look at a family and you know that they have this this unconditional love for each other, in how they serve each other, how they anticipate the needs of one another, and how as they grow up into being adults, these children, that they continually come back and help out in the family in one way or another. So that's beautiful for me to see. I also love to see, and we're going to talk about this next week, businesses, companies that glorify the Lord, that are functioning the way they should function. And employees are actually happy in doing what they're doing. Last week, I came across a company, a group of employees that actually enjoyed, if you believe this, enjoyed working for this company. So many people find it very easy to express their dissatisfaction with who they work for. You can come across in a retail store someone behind a register or across the counter, and you can see either with their attitude or a combination of their attitude and what they would even share with you that they are unhappy employees. But not these. This was a group of employees that were happy to do what they were doing. And I was surprised. Now, I was sharing this with someone, and they said, you know, I think the company that you're referring to is a Christian-owned company. And I would say, that's great, because that's not only a good testimony to the public,
But it's also a good testimony for those employees who come in and start working for that company. It's a great witness to how the Lord wants us to behave in our employment as employees and also as bosses. And we'll, again, take a look at that next week. Now, the impact that a company like that can have is eternal. But let me tell you this, that families that function the way they should according to Scripture will impact not only your family for generations to come, but also the neighbors surrounding you for generations to come. They want to know what you know. They want to know, why is it that you have that joy? Why is it that you're so close? And you can tell them it's because of Christ. Now, it's difficult in today's day and age to do so and to do it well as far as living life out in unity. Now, families, what would your neighbors say about you? Let me ask you some questions that will improve, will change after this message. But what would your neighbors say about you? Now, kids, what would your neighbors say to your parents how you behave when they're not looking? Unfortunately, sometimes it's different than how you behave in front of your parents. Again, the impact that a Christian family can make in the neighborhood can be profound. And it goes beyond a neighborhood. Let me just give you a little vision past the neighborhood, past your own family, beyond your friends. Because as you get older, you can impact the city that you live in. You can impact the county that you live in. You can impact the state and the nation as a whole. There's this commercial, I believe, I don't know what it is, some wireless company, right? They're saying that they're the best as far as their download speed. And it gives two scenarios. One is in which it kind of goes from the president giving his speech and then goes back to him being a baby and then his parents having met. Now, have you seen this commercial?
Yeah.
Having met, because it downloaded fast enough, he looked up just in time to catch his future wife, and the rest is history. Right? So we see that and we think, oh, that's great marketing. Right? But listen, it's true. It's true in the sense that you as an individual can make a difference. But what kind of a difference are you going to make? What are you passionate about? Who are you passionate about? You can make an impact, kids. Don't take that for granted. Now, it all starts with individual decisions to live for a greater purpose than yourself. It starts with a decision to love Christ and obey His commands at the personal level. And our future is in the hands of individual children that are growing up in our very homes. You're boarding them, parents. And kids, you are there and you can make a difference. I was watching CNN Heroes the other night. I don't know if you watch it. They keep showing it. It was on Thanksgiving. I believe it was Thanksgiving evening that they're showing this show, running this show. And what it is, it's individuals who have made a difference throughout the world on behalf of those who are in need. One gentleman in particular who lives in Texas, he has been a builder of homes for over 30 years. And what he decided to do was start building custom homes for disabled veterans, war heroes, men and women who have served our country overseas and have been wounded, wearing prosthetics, or having no legs at all, having difficulty living like you and I. And what this man does is he has dedicated himself to building custom homes for these war veterans. And after he's done building this home, these homes, one by one, he'll present it to these families. He doesn't sell it to them. He gives it to them. This is a gift. He's doing this over and over and over. I know that he's a believer, but there's a number of other people on this show being honored by CNN who are making a difference all over the world, Kenya, India, Mexico, everywhere. I saw this Indian man who, in India, there's definitely a line that you don't cross. If you are well off, you do not even go near those who are poor. They're considered to be untouchables. And in fact, that's the title that they have. But this man said enough with that. And what he does is he cooks for these people. And he goes out and he not only feeds them, but he brings them into their home, into his home. And he bathes them. And he clips their beard. And he washes their hair and cuts their hair. And he says that the love that they receive is for their soul. The food that they receive physically is for them to live. But the love goes beyond all of that. And this man would wash them and he would literally kiss their feet and their legs. And some of these people, they're not Christians, but they're acting like Christians. Can you make a difference? I remember in high school being inspired by this one man that came and showed us what life could be. People, have we given up on our dreams? Have we given up on those things that we can do to impact the world around us? Kids, never lose the passion that God gives you. For parents, those of you who are older, there's a purpose and a plan for you. God says that in his word. And if these people can stand up and do something that they believe in, how much more can you in God's power? Right? What's our excuse? Let's be the hands and feet of Christ. Kids, you can make a difference. So what's it looking like, church? Do we need a challenge? I think we do. I really think we need to be challenged as a church. Let's read the first four verses of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now we can take a look at this first verse and emphasize different words within the verse in order to fully realize the depth and the width of what God's communicating to us this morning. And now, who's addressed here? Well, children, youth, our offspring. Who is it not addressing here? Adult children. And that's a whole different area that we can go into, but we'll reserve that for a later date. This morning, it's our youth. That's who we're going to focus on. Now, the first word, obey, that we're going to focus on, this word is different than submit. Submit is a word that is given to wives in regards to their husbands. And submit is a willing subjection of an inferior in the sense of order to one who has a right to command. Now, listen, I can't say this enough because our society has brainwashed us to think that that the woman is less as she submits to her husband. No, it's for the purpose of order. It's like saying that the employer is more important than the employee. Well, the employer wouldn't even exist if the employee didn't exist. It's all because of order, and you need to give honor to whom you need to give honor to whom God has told you to give honor to and to submit to. And so that's not the word, though. It's not submit, it's obey, which is a little different. A child didn't have a choice to be born into the family. He was selected by God. He's given you that family, kids. Sorry, if you're going to get upset with anyone, it'd be the Lord, not your parents, as to what family you were born into. So you didn't have a choice. But obey is a word that doesn't leave any room for debate, reasoning, or an explicit testing of the true meaning of what you're told to do or not to do. In other words, it's not for argumentation. It's just,
You obey. It's pretty straightforward. That's what the Lord says. And by the way, kids, I'm not going to mince any words with you. I think so many times society minces words, kind of tiptoes around what the truth is. And I believe that you're intelligent enough to know exactly what I'm saying, exactly what the Lord says in His Word. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to lay it out just as God says you are to behave in the home. Is that okay? Kids, is that okay? The command is to obey. Like I said, very straightforward. A non-negotiable. Not left to debate. Parents, say what you mean and mean what you say. Kids will feel very secure. You're not wishy-washy. You don't go back on your word. You stand firm on the principles that you say you believe in. You don't sway. You don't compromise. Kids will so much more appreciate that later on in life. They'll understand that they too can stand on the principles that you stood on. So stand on them. Okay? And now, you may not know who Shepherd Fairey is, but I know that you've seen his artwork on a street corner, on an electrical box, on maybe the railing of a bridge as you go across, maybe even under a bridge. You've seen it. There's these eyes. It kind of looks like, I believe it's the queen on playing cards, and it's just the face. It's just the eyes, black. You still don't know what I'm talking about? No? His iconic imagery is found throughout the world. In fact, his clothing brand is sold in over 20 countries. The clothing brand? What are we talking about right now?
Okay.
That's what it is, right? Now, are you kind of thinking about some of the things that you've seen? It's obey. It's this, I just have these eyes, like just etched into my mind. That's the icon that uses. Obeys an image that's stamped into the minds of people all over the world, has transcended culture, different cultures, and it's been accepted by people in many different countries. Now, obey may litter our world, and it may have been popularized by the world as a whole, but I pray that every time you see an obey sticker, that you think to obey Jesus Christ. It's all over. So may that be something that kind of reminds you that you need to obey the Lord. And with that comes an obedience to your parents as well, because you honor them, because you honor the Lord, which is more important than you. The command to obey is very straightforward. No wiggle room whatsoever. But the question that our kids ask many times is, you ask why, don't you? Why? Why do I have to do that? Why can't I do that? Why do I have to go there? Can't I stay home? Right? As you get older, those are some of the questions that you ask. Why do I have to be obedient to my parents? You don't know my parents. Doesn't it say here that I only have to obey my parents if they're raising me in the Lord? Isn't that what it says here? In the Lord? Kids, sometimes we can kind of twist words around. Because I was one once. We can twist words around to kind of get our own meaning or get our own way. I'll get to the parents in a minute, though. But this question is very common. Why? It was easier for me, by the way, to terrorize my mom because she was the only one around after the age of 11. So you can imagine a teenager. It wasn't a pretty sight. So that's why I know it's a common question. As young children, and I'm talking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, when you ask why, it's sincerely wanting to know why it is that things happen. But when you get into your tweens, into your teens, even early adult life, the question of why
is more for challenging authority, more for getting across your opinion of matters. Now listen, maturity isn't demonstrated by challenging authority all the time. Your maturity can be expressed not necessarily by challenging authority all the time, but your maturity actually can be demonstrated by your ability to obey and to honor the Lord by honoring your parents. Why? Well, listen to this. A lot of people can use society, can use culture, can use media as an excuse as to why it is that they live the way they live. For adults, that's what we can do. We can use the world around us as an excuse as to why it is we live the way we do. But there's no excuse. That's not an excuse, because our example is not society around us. It's not media. It's not any one particular person outside of Jesus Christ. He is our example. And so for you, it's no different. Jesus is your example of obedience. In fact, he was obedient to his Father all the way to the cross. If you can show your love for Jesus by obeying your parents. But what's the benefit? Life. Okay, so life. I'm living. It seems as a kid that I'm going to live forever. Well, let me tell you, just as I warn the adults, tomorrow's not promised to us. And even as kids, tomorrow is not promised to you. And I know that you don't want to hear that. It's like, oh, Pastor, I don't even want to think about that. Listen, I'm called to give you the truth and the gospel message. I'm going to do that to your kids as well. They need an individual opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because listen, kids, you're going to be held. If you're at the age of awareness, of knowing good and bad, you're going to be held responsible. I'm not saying that's a scary, I'm saying that because that's the truth. So you need an opportunity to choose as well. It's not because your parents chose, it's because you choose individually. What's the benefit? Well, here the Bible promises you a longer life. Now, some parents may say, well, absolutely, you don't obey me, you're going to live very short. But that's kind of a side note. A longer life. Now, back in the biblical days, children who dishonored their parents literally lived shorter lives. You could be stoned, you could be, if you raise your hand to your parents, you'd be done with. But here's today. Let's fast forward. You choose Jesus Christ, and you live eternally in the presence of the Lord and all his glory. What's the other choice? Well, you live for eternity, but not in the presence of God. You live in a place that was designated for Satan and the fallen angels. And that's hell. And that's very real. It's not something to play around with. That's why I told you I'm not going to mince any words. Why? Because one day you too will be judged and found guilty of sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. Why? Because you are a sinner too, just like adults, just like parents, that is in need of Jesus Christ, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:23. Why? Because you too do not have a conditional commandment to love your parents, just as we do not have a conditional commandment to love others. In fact, Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, to love our enemies, bless those who hate us, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute us. Quite different than what the world teaches. It's unconditional. There may be times when you feel that your parents are actually the enemies, that they're persecuting you and using you. there's instances of that all over the world. There are instances of that happening today in Riverside, in San Bernardino. I pray that that's not the case here at all. But I don't think, you know what I would hope is parents, take your kids to an orphanage, take your kids on a missionary trip, just here locally to Mexico or somewhere. Have them help out with those who are needy. And that kind of puts things in perspective. Take them over and over again. Look for people who are in need and homeless in San Bernardino and Riverside. See where they live, and you'll realize how good you actually have it. Christian faith does not depend on whom you live in. Just as adults, it doesn't depend on the world in which we live in. There's no excuses. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." So, leads me to the last portion of this verse, which says, "For this is right." Well, why? Who says this is right? Well, I'm sure you've heard your parents say at some point, why do I have to, you ask your questions, and finally they're tired of explaining, they said, because I said so. Why? Because I said so. That's it. I'm done. Just because I said so. Why is it right to obey your parents? God said so. He's the authority, and he said this is right. It's not conditional. Obey your parents. This is good. What makes such obedience right is that it conforms to God's holy commandment, which is quoted in verses 2 and 3. This is what Paul quoted. He quoted Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5:16. He said, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." There's a part on the Karate Kid. You guys seen the Karate Kid, the latest one? God, raise your hand. So some of you have seen it. For the rest of you, I'm about to ruin it for you. But there's this one part of the movie, it's towards the beginning, in which it's Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith, which is Will Smith's son. He's the one that is the Karate Kid. Where Jackie Chan starts to train Jaden. At least he accepts him and he's going to start training him. And of course, in true Karate Kid fashion, what happens is the setting is China. Jaden and his mom move to China. I believe it's due to a job move or something like that, a job opportunity. They come to this housing complex, and Jackie Chan is the maintenance man there. Of course, Jaden runs into trouble, and he gets bullied. And he thinks he knows a few moves, and he has just this great spirit about him, but it's not enough to do anything about it. And so Jackie accepts the challenge to train Jaden for, of course, a tournament, right? Like I said, karate, true Karate Kid fashion. So they start training. Well, Jaden's really excited about training. He comes into Jackie Chan's home, goes through the living room, which, by the way, has a car in it, so he thought that was odd. He comes into the patio, and Jackie he just got done drilling this hole in what looked like a telephone pole, and he inserts his peg into it. So the training begins. Jackie tells Jaden, "Take your jacket off, throw it on the ground." Okay, so Jaden's thinking, this is cool, right? A kid, that can throw clothes on the floor. Wow, this is great. Let's get to work. I don't have to hang it up. No. Pick it up. Okay, pick it up. Throw it on the pole. Throws it up. He hangs it up. Take it down. Put it on. Take it off. Throw it down. Pick it up. Hang it up. Take it down. Put it on. It's like, wow, Jaden, first of all, is looking at him, and he's telling him, I just did that. He says, and he just keeps going through. He doesn't even answer him other than just telling him, take it down, put it on, take it off, throw it down, pick it up. And he goes through this. This happens, of course.
day after day after day. It's raining, he sticks an umbrella over him, and he's doing this. This was his training for several days. Now, it wasn't paint the fence, it wasn't wax the car, wax on, wax off. It was a little different. But here's the thing, is earlier, Jackie was fixing a door inside their home, Jaden and his mom's home, and he looked over as Jaden walked into the home, and he threw his jacket down. And his mom got on, hey, Jaden, pick that jacket up. And of course, Jaden had an attitude, yes, picked up the jacket after being told several times, and threw it on the pole, an attitude. I know you kids, you don't know what I'm talking about. But at some point when Jaden was being trained, Jackie looks over and Jaden was just placing it on the post, on the peg. Well, Jackie walks over and he says, something is missing here. He says, I'm doing everything that you told me to do. I'm doing it. No, there's something missing. He says, I don't know what. I'm doing it all. Attitude. Throw, right? So that's what he's saying. He said it was the attitude. And that's when Jaden understood that the whole lesson that he was teaching them, he thought, and it was twofold, was that he was to respect his mom. And one thing that caught my ear was that he said, everything is kung fu. How we treat others, how we live. Well, as a Christian, we know that kung fu may be a way of life, but it isn't a way to eternal life, and definitely doesn't claim to be. There is a message that we must understand that is very important to our lives as Christians. You see, everything is Jesus. How we treat others and how we live. Everything. Even when your parents aren't looking, live for Jesus. Live to honor him, and you can't go wrong. Not just on Sundays, not just in front of others. Always. This who we are to be in Christ, new creatures with a new plan and a new purpose to bring glory to God our King. And this begins in the home. You're consistent in your obedience to your parents, which is one of the most difficult places to be obedient, right? To follow what God has told you to do. But if you can be consistently obedient in your home and demonstrate your love for Jesus in that manner, then it'll make your circumstances and situations out in the world that much easier to overcome, because you know that you've done it in the home. You can consistently do that when you're out and about. It's character, it's integrity. Have you built that up in your own home? And if you haven't, how can you expect to do that out in the world? All right. Let's move on to parents. And you only have one verse. Kids, do you understand what I'm telling you? Yeah? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers are addressed here, and this includes mothers, parents. But fathers specifically are addressed here because they're the governmental head of the family. You are responsible for the discipline that takes place within the home, also the instruction. That's where the responsibility lies, is with the fathers. But listen, you do share that responsibility with your helpmate. So ladies, you're not off the hook, because you're also responsible to bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. One thing that we can do to provoke or exasperate our kids is by putting some unreasonable demands on them, petty rules in place, or show favoritism. And it says in Colossians 3:21 that these actions actually discourage kids. So we need to be careful with that.
Instead, here's the other part of the verse. Instead, we are to bring them up, to rear them, to nourish them, as we see actually in Ephesians chapter, Ephesians 5. And I saw this earlier. This is important for us to understand, that we are to nourish, verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does in church. And this is speaking to the men. So that's what we are to do as men, as fathers, is to provide nourishment for our kids, and not just physically, but also spiritually. We are to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. We are to train them, and that sometimes means discipline as well. So don't shortchange your raising of your kids by not disciplining them. It actually shows that you love them. If God chastises us and tells us that he does so because he loves us, then you as a father, an earthly father, should do the same. We are also to admonish them, to give authoritative instruction by the word of God. That's what we are to do. Children are to obey in the Lord, and parents are to train and instruct in the Lord. He, Jesus Christ, is to be the center of your relationships and of your teaching and learning. He is to be the center. Now, how many of you would agree with me that this is easier said than done? It is. Is it impossible, though? No, it's not impossible. Should you walk out of here with your heads down? No, not at all. Again, I'm challenging you this morning, and more importantly, I pray that the Lord is convicting you this morning if you're found in this place. Now, for those of you who don't have children yet, these are just lessons to learn and apply, right? For those of you who are older and are beyond the age of having children in your home, make sure you teach these things to your children as their parents or others who you come across. That's your place. Easier said than done, but not impossible. Are you aware of enough scripture to guide your kids in all wisdom? If not, then you need to crack open this book right here and be instructed. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you and give you an understanding of what you're reading. He'll speak to your heart, and he'll give you remembrance when the time is right, and you can pass along some wisdom to your children. Regarding the provoking of our children to wrath, who in their right mind would provoke their children to wrath deliberately? Who would do that? Not deliberately. The picture that comes to mind is that of a bully that eggs someone on to either do something that they don't want to do, to fight, to just get just a rise out of someone else. That's what the picture that was drawn in my mind as I thought about provocation. And now two thoughts for you to ponder. You can provoke your children to wrath by your actions as well as your inactions. And I'll explain that. Actions, sinful, deliberate behavior with no thought of offending the Lord. In other words, you have no fear of God, no reverence for him. And your kids learn how to also have no fear of God, let alone pleasing him. If this is what your children learn from you, then you can lead them in the way of destruction as they learn to be what you are when they get older. The way in which you bring up your children is very serious. It's not to be taken lightly. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Another way you can provoke your kids to anger is actually provoking them to anger. The act of exasperating or irritating or infuriating them. As a child, I remember one uncle in particular, which thought it was funny to get me angry, get me to the point to where I wanted to hurt him. I don't know if you have an uncle like that, but I remember as a kid, it wasn't funny. It really wasn't. I would laugh, but I would get angry towards him. And of course, we would laugh it off afterwards, just because he's my uncle. I love him. But I remember it shifted from him, from me, to my brother. It's at that point that I could really laugh and have a chuckle. But you know, I did think about the feelings that I had at the time that he was provoking me. He would tell me things. He would literally poke at me. And I thought, what's the purpose of this whole thing? And I felt helpless. As a kid, you feel kind of helpless. You wonder, what's the purpose of this whole thing? Just so the adult would get a laugh? Unfortunately, I still have that memory. And it wasn't all that fun. For some of you, it may be fun. It really wasn't for me. It was truly provoking. The anger. And I know he does that with other kids as well. It was the way he was raised. In the same manner, we can do this with our own children in different ways. And Jesus holds kids as very precious. This is what he has to say about them. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, as he has a little child seated on his lap. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But listen to this. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So we are to take our parenting very seriously. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Inaction. You can also provoke your children to wrath by ignoring them altogether. This is an act of negligence, of which you are also responsible for. To know to do something and not to do it is sin, as far as James 4:17 is concerned. Many parents today, unfortunately, are ignoring their children. This thought came to mind, and I had placed it in another section of my notes, but then I quickly brought it back as I came across this part. Who do you think they'll grow up to be? Good, God-fearing citizens who will stand up for what's right, especially with you ignoring them? They're being raised by the media and by TV and by the games that they're playing, by the friends that they're hanging out with. Is there no censoring? Many of the things kids think they have a right to these days and parents give them are actually a distraction. And I said this in an earlier message, to having a relationship with them because you're too preoccupied with your own life. You're too preoccupied with your own life. Even TV, I remember at the time as I was growing up, TV was so different. It really was. It was the same show on every channel, on all, right, 2 through 13, right? And even the remote was handled by the kids. Sun Channel 2, Sun Channel 4. We had remotes back then. But it was something that would be viewed by the family. There really would be. There weren't things on TV that you see on TV now. Special medicines to help enhance weren't on at 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. They were more like... I was watching a show yesterday, a TV program, and the commercial came on, and it was for that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you wonder why kids are doing the things they're doing at the age that they're doing. But today I think it's more difficult to get our kids to obey because we've farmed them out to things they deem as rights when much of it has become a distraction to having a relationship with them. Kids right here this morning are wondering what's wrong with the very games that they play. They're fun, right? You know what? They are fun. Absolutely. There's a lot of games that are a lot of fun. So are some TV shows, but they should never take the place of the family. I think we've lost that. I told you I'm going to challenge you this morning. Families, we need to change what we're doing. We really do. We need to live lives that are centered on Jesus Christ. We have some work to do as parents with our kids. To help them understand and experience the family as God has designed it. The extras within the family should be an outpouring of love and many life stories to learn from and apply. As Christians, we have many situations where we can teach our kids about biblical moral values. We pay attention and we capitalize on those specific situations. But the opposite of provoking our children to wrath is to do something. We're called to do something. To do something with them, and the Bible tells us here to teach them what the scriptures say and that the warnings in the Bible are true and authoritative. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. I wanted to read that to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. Here's what it says in the Old Testament. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We should be talking about Scripture all the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It says in Ephesians 5:16. Take advantage of those times. We need to live out our faith. We need to pay attention to our kids. Been reminded of that this last week. So that much. When everything around you kind of changes, it reminds you of what's important, right? And this week I can say that the Lord has reminded me of a few things. Redeem the time. Can we do that with our kids? Parents, can we do that with our kids? John 3:1-4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Billy Graham said this, and my wife shared it with me. He said, quote, let your home be your parish, your little brood, your congregation, your living room a sanctuary, and your knee a sacred altar. Close quote. Wonderful quote. Kids, I'm going to challenge you. The Bible tells us that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31. God wants your heart to be right and for you to do things that are in line with his commandments because of your love for him. My challenge to you is that you obey your parents and even look for ways in which you can bless them and honor them consistently. Why? Because God says so. He says it's right. He says it's right in his eyes to do so, even when mom and dad aren't looking. Parents, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Not like you haven't been already. Scripture is very clear that the act of Christian parenting is not passive. It's active and be full of purpose. We are to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, and the promise to us is that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. We need to stand on that promise and just do our part. If you're not taking advantage of every opportunity to teach your kids biblical principles in everyday situations, then I challenge you to do so. Find creative ways to do that with your kids and instill in them the biblical morals that they will be able to use for the rest of their lives to bless others, bless themselves, God will bless them, and most importantly, honor the Lord and bless Him. Speaking to both parents and kids, you can't do this on your own strength. Now, there's programs that are out there that help you change different habits. You can't do it on your own. Life is difficult enough. There's enough divorces. There's enough broken homes. And without the Lord, it's impossible for reconciliation to truly happen. If there are issues within your own heart towards your parents or parents towards your kids or maybe towards your own parents that you're applying to your own family, and you're finding it difficult, if there's things within the home that need to change, you're going to have to make some hard decisions, then you need to help the help of the Lord. And He says that He's there when you cry out to Him for help. But more importantly, for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I told you that earlier, we're all in need of a Savior. Because we're all sinners separated from God by that sin. But God demonstrated His own love towards us when He sent His Son to die on the cross in our stead, in the place of us for our sins. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. So you can't live for Jesus if you're not His to begin with. Do you know Him personally? Kids, I'm talking to you as well. Because you need to make a personal decision. Again, it's not your parents. You can't ride on the coattails of your parents. But the Lord is calling you out right now, this morning, to make a decision for Him. And I pray that you do so. And all you do, here's how simple it is. With all sincerity, you tell Him, I confess that I have sinned against You in Your life. I ask that You forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all my sins. Take this burden from me. And be my Lord and Savior. It's that simple. But it doesn't stop there. Because it's at that moment that you begin to read the Word of God. It gives you an understanding of His Word. Teaches you His ways. And we are to live for His glory. But He gives us the promise of eternal life with the Father and all His glory through His Son Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the Word that You've given to us. Lord, for those who have not profess their faith in You, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You hear them this morning. Lord, that they agree with You that they're sinners, just like each and every person here. Lord, the only difference between them and someone who has surrendered their lives to You is that hope of eternal life. Because Your Word says, You, Lord Jesus, speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. There's no other way. So, Lord, in the quietness of this place, in the comfort of this place, in the security of this place, in Your sanctuary, I pray that decisions are made for You, Lord Jesus, this morning. And more souls are added to Your kingdom. So hear our cry as we surrender lives to You. Father, we thank You for the instruction that You've given to our kids as well as to parents. I pray that we heed Your words, that we apply them to our lives, and You may be glorified, and that You give us the strength to make the changes that are necessary to bring You glory and to bring about a change in our homes, to come closer together and be the proper example, again, to praise you and be a good testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.